Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Hi everyone, Caitlin here. This is a very special week because we are doing a feed swap with one of our favorite podcasts, Les Hang Out. They are starting their 10th season soon and we are so excited. Les Hang Out is a podcast about lesbian experiences, representation, culture, life, love, and more. Get ready for some sapphic socialization, y'all. Without further ado, we present to you Les Hang Out's episode on one of our podcast favorite movies, Love Lies Bleeding.
Les Hang Out.
Les Hang Out.
And let's talk about what lesbians are about.
Les Hang Out.
And let's listen to two lesbians shout.
Les Hang Out.
Les Hang Out.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Les Hang Out, the podcast that's 75 feet tall and can crush you like a tiny insignificant bug in our hands.
Hell yeah.
From the West Coast, I'm Lee Holmes Foster.
From the East Coast, I'm Ellie Brigida. To those who've been with us this whole journey, thank you as always for listening. If you're a new listener, welcome. We're excited to have you here. Here's what's happening this week.
This Week in the Lesdom.
This Week in the Lesdom is a place where we can touch base each episode about things going on with the podcast or otherwise. In season 8, we have our Patreon bonus episodes coming out. Our first episode of season 8 came out last week on Saltburn. You can listen at bit.ly/lespatreon.
We also want to remind you that we are getting close to planning the details and finalizing things for our next Les Hangout trip. So if you're interested or if you want to get any last thoughts, feedback, opinions into us, make sure you email us at leshangoutpod@gmail.com.
In the greater Les universe, this sent me, Lee. We're like, okay, lesbian news. Here's the headline. Explicit lesbian sex scene in opera sends 18 audience members to the hospital.
Hot.
What?
Ha, I'm into
it. First of all, what audience member? Okay, so this is also like, in reading more about it, this is no normal lesbian sex scene.
Yeah, it's also no normal opera.
Yeah, it's like blood, crucifixion, like it's giving. Have you seen Benedetta?
I haven't.
It's giving Benedetta. It's like very like in Benedetta, she gets fucked with like a statue of Jesus. Like they turn a statue of Jesus into a dildo. Like it's like giving that.
Great. Yeah.
So some of these audience members had nausea and shock, and doctors had to be called.
This is insane. This whole thing looks insane.
Can you imagine being so gay someone threw up?
The dream. Living the dream.
Listeners, please let us know if you've ever had nausea or shock induced by Les Hang Out Pod.
Wow.
Our goal. Wow. Our ultimate goal.
Listen, they've been doing a production in Stuttgart, but they said it's coming to the U.S. And what I want to know is where.
Please.
Where is this going to be?
I will be there in the front row throwing up and laughing.
I love that. Excited for you. Also in the greater Les universe, we just want to remind everyone that Lesbian Day, International Lesbian Day, just happened. So we hope you all had a blessed lesbian day. Hope it was the best day ever for, you know, for the lesbians listening. And if you're not a lesbian, we hope you hugged a lesbian that day, you know?
Or kissed a lesbian very sweetly.
Yes, that one. That's what you
That's
were
what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like we have mentioned Agatha all along in the podcast before, but we have to talk about it again because it is the gayest show that the Marvel Universe has given us so far.
I'm very out of the loop because I haven't watched it and I didn't watch, what was the?
WandaVision.
I didn't watch WandaVision. So I feel like I have a lot to catch
Honestly,
up on.
Honestly, I would just watch Agatha all along because like it's an extension of WandaVision, but it's also like it's very contained.
Okay, maybe I'll just get into it then. I feel like I haven't watched an MCU thing in like a solid decade and I'm a little out of the loop.
It's fine. I would still watch it. I am fully caught up. I will say I was like getting inklings of the lesbian sex scene online, right? And then I was like, oh, there's going to be a lesbian sex scene. So I was like watching it, thinking there was going to be a lesbian sex scene. There was not yet. However, they have hired an intimacy coordinator. So people are like, clearly there's some sex in this show. And there's 0% chance that that sex will be heterosexual because it's a coven of witches.
Unless they like kidnap.
Yeah,
a man,
like unless they throw a random man in here for shits and giggles, which like I can't imagine. And the Aubrey Plaza and Catherine Hahn already like almost kissed. There was like this moment where they were like touching each other, getting really close. And then they didn't kiss.
I have a question, though.
Yes.
Does every show that has Aubrey Plaza in it maybe just need to hire an intimacy coordinator for the unreal amounts of chemistry she has with everybody around her?
Yes.
Is that a possibility?
That is a huge possibility. The chemistry she is shooting out of her fucking body is insane.
Yeah, it's wild.
It is so wild. There's so many moments. One of them, she licks blood off of her hand. And what is
the Yellow Jackets cannibalism crap?
And then she, and then she also says like, oh, she says, I do have a heart. It's black and it beats for you. And then she also says, it's like,
they're really coming. They're really
whoever wrote this script, like, is so gay.
Yeah.
They're like, they're all comparing their scars. Okay. Like their physical scars. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I have a scar. And Agatha's like, no, you don't. And she's like, it's an emotional scar, Agatha. And she's like, I love someone once. And then I hurt her. She is my scar.
Oof.
What? Ooh. Who wrote this lesbian shit? She is my scar.
So much.
It's wild. So much. But yes, if you're watching Agatha All Along.
It's a scar in the blackened heart
exactly.
That beats for you.
Oh, God, it's so gay. Patty fucking LuPone. Like, it's so gay. But that's what's happening this week. Back to you, Ellie and Lee.
Thanks, Ellie and Lee. And welcome to episode 5 of season 8, our next installment of Lessentials.
Lessentials is a recurring segment on the show where we dive into classic lesbian movies or TV shows.
As a reminder, we are also writing and recording and producing an original song for every Lessentials that we do. And for this Lessentials, you're going to want to stick around to the end to hear our original song, Destiny.
And for this Lessentials, we are talking about the 2024 movie Love Lies Bleeding, starring Kristen Stewart and Katie O'Brien.
Wow.
You've been
asking,
we've been watching, we're here to share our thoughts.
And we have some thoughts on this movie. I have some thoughts. My first thought is that, as always, we should read our IMDb synopsis for Love Lies Bleeding. Gym manager Lou falls for Jackie, a bodybuilder who is passing through town en route to a competition in Las Vegas.
You know what? Not bad. There's a lot of other extra shit in there. But I think I like that this is the IMDb synopsis because we'll dive into it. But like, I really had no fucking clue what movie I was going into. So I think that that made it much more enjoyable for me.
It's a little burying the lead, I feel like, of the movie. Like, that description could be anything. That could be a rom-com. That could be a comedy. That could be a
absolutely there's no
trippy,
tone for it,
like,
and that's what
gory,
I love. There's no
journey that we all went on. Like, you don't know. Who knows where it's taking you, right?
Well, Lee, as we're here, what are your thoughts? Like, what were you, you know, you watched the movie. What were your initial just like feelings of the film?
Okay, here were my initial, my primary initial feeling, because I hadn't watched this yet. I'd heard a lot of people be like, wow. I knew that there was stuff that people were sort of like divided on, you know? Like, I knew that there was camps of people who liked certain things and didn't like certain things. I didn't know what it all was yet. I watched this by myself. And my very first initial thought was probably it's good I didn't sit Kelsey down and make her watch this with me because I don't think she would have enjoyed this movie.
Did
very
you
much.
Enjoy the movie?
I did enjoy it. There were things that I enjoyed. So here's the thing. I don't mind gore that much. So I feel like that's going to be a deal breaker for a lot of people right off the bat, that it wasn't for me. And I don't mind movies being a little unhinged.
It was so unhinged.
So I did enjoy it, but I also don't think I got it. I don't know if I got it. And I've only watched it once, and I'm wondering if, like, rewatching it would help anything make more sense or not.
I think you should rewatch it. I think I got it. I'm excited to talk about it. But okay. Maybe I didn't. Maybe I think, you know, whatever. But I'm not a big gore person either. However, I really did enjoy this movie because I didn't know what I was getting into going in.
Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I don't think you can. I don't think anyone knows what
so
they're
I was just like, all right, I'm just
going
to sit and like watch this story unfold. I was in it. Like, I was not bored for 1 minute in this film. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, oh shit, like this has happened. Now this is happening. And one thing I liked about it, which we can dive in on, is I think it's just like a very nuanced lesbian film. Like, I feel like this is a lesbian film that, like, yes, the queer storyline is central, but, like, it's about way more than that. Like, I just found it, I found it to be quite deep. And I know it's unhinged as fuck, but, like, to me, it's about, like, it's about the, like, juxtaposition of, like, addiction and love.
Yeah.
And, like, what is it like to be, like, there's, like, that juxtaposition of, like, the addiction. The addiction that Jackie has to the steroids, like the way that it changes her personality and the anger that she feels towards like towards anyone really, but also like people who have like wronged her partner. It's like it's a toxic love story.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing healthy going on.
No. But I thought that they did it so well. Like they have like the addiction to nicotine and then you have like the James Franco and, like, the sister relationship of it all. Like, I found it to be a very...
Dave Franco, sorry.
Other Franco. I found it to be a very interesting, like, I don't know, like, commentary on the toxicity of love.
Mm.
If you can even call it love. Obsession, right? Like, so I was in on it. I was like, I can vibe on this. And don't say that says anything about me, Lee, but I can
have
vibe on
zero
it.
Thoughts to share with you
I
on
can
what that
vibe
says.
On it.
I
so, all right.
Okay, should I walk us, do like a, I'll kind of guide us through the basic plot points and we can talk about them as they come up?
Yes.
Okay. So we start with, we're at the gym. We meet Lou, right, who is Kristen Stewart's character, who is... And I mean, this is, you know, when people do those posts where it's like, they'll do like, here's the post or a word, and then it'll be like, respectfully. This is in the most respectfully way, like a fucking dyke. She is.
Oh, so dyke.
She is the dykiest of the dykes. Queen dyke. This is.
Yes.
Dyke supreme.
The supreme leader of the dykes, Kristen Stewart as Lou with this fucking mullet.
We all pledge our loyalty to Lou. She's fucking something. Like, wow.
She's fucking something. She's fucking everyone.
She's fucking something that something is Daisy and she clearly wants out. Because we meet Daisy and honestly, Anna Baryshnikov might be one of my favorite parts of this movie. Because I think she's such a good actress.
She's and so good.
These types of parts, she eats it up. She
That's what
kills
I'm saying.
It.
Like the obsession, right? You have this, like it's just it keeps coming. Like there's different levels of obsession.
Yes.
There's different unrequited obsessions. It's like
obsession.
Daisy obsessed.
Is so obsessed. And Daisy's obsessed in that like meth head kind of way. You know,
mm-hmm.
where you're like, there's not many thoughts going on up there. And the ones that are happening are probably not great for anyone around you. Primarily Lou. Because all she wants to do is fuck Lou.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go out. Baby, let's go out. Let's go dancing. Let's go to this club, right? So, okay, we set that tone. We set that relationship up. We kind of set up, you know, the sense that Lou is a little bit of a Shane in her town, but it's obviously not LA, and she has some regrets.
Yeah. She's like, she went through them too fast.
Daisy is her, what's the crazy girl in the-
Oh, yeah.
The old
Elmer.
Do you know what I mean, though? The one who makes all the posters of Shane?
Yeah.
Daisy's that, right? She's full
Lacey.
Crazy.
Lacey.
Yeah, yeah. Daisy's Lacey, but she's gone full crazy on Lou. Lou is there, like, you know, pulling shit out of a toilet, and Daisy's like, so hot, Lou. Oh my God, put mm-hmm. your shit hands inside of me. And you're like, I hate everything that's happening mm-hmm. right now.
Not good.
It's not good. This is not the hot, sexy content that we signed up for. Neither is the hot, sexy content that we signed up for Jackie getting dicked down in a parking lot.
It's so soon and so gross.
It's a lot. So that's how we meet Jackie, which is that Jackie is new in town, sitting on the first dick she can find to get a job. It's kind of gross.
She's doing her best.
She's doing her best. Dave Franco is so gross in this movie.
He's so gross. He does such a good job.
Credit to him. A+ work from an acting sense. F- work from I've become gayer as a result of watching you in this movie, sir. Thank you. But she does get a job. She gets a job at a firing range run by Dave's father-in-law, who we will learn is also Lou's
dad.
Father, and played by the one, the only Ed Harris, who also, I mean, the cast, the acting,
cast
sensational
so
in this
good.
Movie.
Cast is
such
so
a good, cast.
Good. Jennifer K. Malone.
Yeah, she's everyone in this movie is fantastic. So Ed Harris is great. He's also made me gayer.
Oh, that hair?
The wig. Yeah, the hair situation.
I read an entire article specifically just about the hair in this movie, and I find that so funny because it's so true. Like, the hair is a character in and of itself.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And you know what else I love? You know what's so funny is I have seen, I don't know if your TikTok is like this, my TikTok shows me a lot of hairdressers, and specifically like queer hairdressers, and they do the like hair transformations, right? I have seen so many of those where just the queer response to this movie where people will go in and be like, you know what I'm looking for is kind of like the Kristen Stewart Love Lies Bleeding mullet.
Yeah, and I'm
and I'm like,
confused,
you know what?
By that, but also
I guess.
You do you. You
but you
do
know
you.
What's so you know what's so funny is when they go in and ask for it from an actual hairdresser, what they end up getting looks great.
Yeah, because it's
because
not like
it doesn't
Kristen
look
Stewart's
like it was done
uneven.
By like
yeah,
right.
Like,
it doesn't look like it was done by a 6-year old
yeah, yeah.
with like safety scissors.
Yeah, yeah. They're
right?
Like, can I get the most uneven mullet possible?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they give them like a cleaned up awesome version
yeah,
of
yeah,
this
yeah.
haircut. And honestly, I'm like, I don't hate that this is clearly going
it
to
hits.
Become
yeah, it hits.
A defining aesthetic of this era of queer culture. Cause I'm like, you know what? You do you. You do you, butches. Mm-hmm. You do you, dykes. You're looking great, honestly, all of these videos. So, yeah, so it is, there's a whole choice happening with Ed Harris's hair. There's a choice happening with Kristen Stewart's hair, even though somehow she manages to pull it off the whole movie. And I'm like, it should be illegal to
That's
pull off this haircut.
That's the most frustrating thing about it is,
yes.
like, it's so aggressively heinous.
Yeah.
And she looks
so bad.
So hot. It's really unfortunate. It's really
All
unfortunate.
Movie.
Yeah.
You keep trying to hate it and you just can't somehow. You're like, it's not even straight.
No.
Why is it working? How
it's so
is
jagged.
It working?
It's so
it's
jagged.
It's so bad. And yet it works. And you're like, it really,
and
I
yeah,
don't
you're
like
bite
it.
Bite my toe, Lou. Like, whatever.
Don't. Just don't. I'm not into it. But Jackie and Lou meet. There's sparks. Immediately, they fuck like immediately, don't they?
Oh, so fast!
Yeah, I think they like immediately go home.
Well, yeah, she gives her the steroids, and then they go back to Lou's place. Actually,
tell me,
they fuck at the gym? I forget.
I thought they went home. I think they go back to Lou's place.
Yeah,
as our foremost sex scene opinion haver and expert, Ellie.
Oh my God.
Tell me your thoughts, because there's going to be a lot of them. So tell me your thoughts on this first one. This is all red lighting. They're in bed.
Okay, I'm trying to remember.
You get a lot of Katie O'Brien's boobs in this.
I do feel as though, as a whole, mm-hmm. I appreciate the sex scenes in Love Lies Bleeding.
Yeah.
They feel
gay.
Like I said, they feel gay. They feel realistic.
Yeah.
They feel very, like I said, like, there's like an obsession there. I feel like they also very much focus on Lou giving.
Yeah.
and Jackie receiving for pretty much all of them, right? I'm trying to think about it. Do we ever get a moment where Jackie's like super reciprocating?
I think there's one. Now I have to remember. I think there's one, but yes. But I think here's the thing. When you get two queer actresses filming a gay sex scene, it's just going to feel more real, right? Because again, you're not going to do some of that bullshit. Like, listen, again, I don't want to hate on the Handmaiden scene at the end, right?
But we do.
Because
like, where they're like aggressively scissoring, right? Isn't that
they're not even scissoring. They're like both hand, like they're like reaching, they're both hands.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Are like
doing their thing.
Doing their thing. But they're
bodies are so far away from each other, right?
They're kneeling and so far away from each other. And I'm like, I would challenge anyone to be like, yeah, that's how I do it. I'm like, I'd like my entire body to be as far away as possible from the person I'm currently actively having sex with. And also, I'd like to be tits full out so that they are turned towards the camera in the most ideal positioning of four breasts on display. I'm like, that's just...
No, it feels very much not like that. Like, it feels
I'm sorry.
You can feel
lesbian sex.
Yeah. You can feel the passion
very infrequently. Very infrequently involves four breasts in a row next to each other.
Yeah.
Like on display. It's a weird positioning. And so like that's not what's happening here, right?
Yes.
Like they are.
It's very intentional. There's some like I think she goes down on her, right? In the first one.
If it's not in this one, they definitely do at another point.
Yeah. Love.
I want to say she does a bunch in this movie, actually.
Love to see it. Feel like we have Jackie who's giving like into it. Like, I don't know. I just, everything about it, I'm like, I can vibe.
Yeah.
This is the definition of the kind of sex scenes that I want to see in movies.
Yes. And it's also because it's not gratuitous. Like, it is.
Exactly. It's as gratuitous,
explicit.
As gratuitous as the first fucking, what's it called? Car sex scene. It's almost less than that.
It's a little less than that, yeah, because it's less gross and they're not trying
to make it gross. Well, we see more. Like, we see more in the lesbian sex scene. We just are seeing that first sex scene from really Dave Franco's perspective. I think whoever edited this film, whoever directed it, like,
yeah,
I think they did some cool shit.
Rose Glass directed this film.
I feel like had some cool shit. Like, there were some choices that on a second watch, I was like, oh, I see you. But yeah, so this particular sex scene, I give it an A+.
Okay, now from also a queer perspective, the following scene, which is the Lou making them breakfast the next morning.
Also
and
A+.
Jackie being like, Can I move in?
Yeah. And she's like, I'll sleep on the couch. She's like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
I love the way that Kristen Stewart says, shut the fuck up, you're saying. I was like, that is so gay. Like, she's
why
like,
is
oh,
that
no, no,
maybe
no, no.
the gayest thing she does in this movie? I'm like, you
fucked once. You literally just met yesterday, and she's like, shut the fuck up. Say no more. You're sleeping here, and you're sleeping in my bed forever.
You having your tongue inside of another woman is less gay than you saying shut the fuck up like that.
Yes.
That's just a fact. That is...
No, I will dream about Kristen Stewart saying shut the fuck up. And like, I'm not even that big of a Kristen Stewart fan. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like a lot of my friends are like, oh, Kristen Stewart, the hottest woman alive. And I'm like, sure. And something about her saying shut the fuck up, I'm like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, there's something about her in that shirt, the little button down fit. Like, it's all working.
She's like, take the yolks out next time. Like, that whole interaction, I'm like, have y'all been dating for 1 day or 3 months?
Yes. They're lesbians. It's the same.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, 1 day, 3 years, same difference, right?
Same. Yeah, yeah. Insane.
I don't know. The U-hauling to me was right on.
Prime.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So then we start this kind of, you know, that now we have their relationship. Jackie's at work. She's going home to tell her about the things she wants to do. She's practicing her poses for her. They look, you all can't see me, but Ellie can see my really excellent
Bodybuilding poses.
I can see
all your bulging muscles, Lee.
Yeah, they're really just as big as Katie O'Brien's.
Yep. You've got the goods.
She's so fucking jacked.
Yeah.
It's a lot. Like, and I, to be honest, I am not a person who's actually into the giant muscled veiny things. That was actually one of the hardest parts of this movie for me. I was like,
whenever they
zoom in
on the veins, yeah.
Yes. I don't like that. I don't like that one bit. Take it out, please. I hate it. Thank you. But for women who are into that, what a fucking gift this movie was to you all. Mm-hmm. Happy for you. Mm-hmm. Would never want to yuck your yum. And then, yes, they're having more sex scenes. They're having more, like, I don't know, cooking breakfast. They're at the gym making eyes at each other while Katie's, like, pumping weights and doing all her stuff. Daisy, meanwhile.
Not okay.
Daisy is watching this happen with the crazy eyes of, like, a murderous squirrel. I don't know why that's what comes to mind to explain her, but that's what comes to mind to explain her. Like, you just know something bad. I mean, you know bad things are going to happen this whole movie, right? But, mm-hmm. Oh, it's so bad. It's so bad. There's a lot of smoking. Lou keeps trying to pretend that she's going to quit smoking. She's not. There's a lot of the montage scenes in this where it's like there's egg yolks in the garbage, there's protein shakes dripping down Katie O'Brien's body, there's more sex, there's that, like, there's more steroids, we're doing injections, we're getting ripped.
I love
getting
the escalation
veiny.
The steroid escalation of this is so, I just think it's such a well done movie.
Yeah, it's a whole lot. And then we're sort of getting a little bit of the backstory of Lou and her dad, right? That kind of gets sprinkled in a bunch throughout here where you're seeing that obviously dad is like Lou Sr., which also, I'm sorry, but the whole Lou Sr., Lou thing, that's also a lot. Lou Sr.'s into some bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's got some weapons. He's
got
some
killings.
Dead bodies,
yeah,
in his past. It's not good. Lou's got a lot of trauma and baggage and PTSD surrounding that. And what else? What would we say is like the first thing that happens where stuff starts
going
off?
Well, they go to
the
dinner.
Rails.
They go to the dinner.
Okay.
So I would say the first thing that really happens is they go out to dinner. So it's Lou, Lou's sister, Dave Franco, I don't fucking know his name in this. And
JJ.
JJ.
His name is JJ.
And Jackie.
And the
right?
sister is Beth. Yeah.
Okay. So Beth and JJ, Lou and Jackie go out for like a double date where we realize.
It's so awkward.
Like, holy shit. Now we see that JJ and Jackie clearly know each other. Like, and there's this weird tension. And then we also have that, like, the whole storyline with Beth and JJ is so intense and,
yeah,
like, so well done. Like, oh, my God. Just, like, the way that Beth is such a battered woman and she, like, will not leave. It's, like, it's so crazy.
It's rough. And it's rough
hard
to watch.
It, yeah, is hard to watch. But I also feel like we get the payoff because, okay, so they're, right? She, like, she spills on him.
Are
and
you
he's
calling,
like,
JJ getting his skull absolutely smashed?
Yeah, payoff.
Shit.
Yeah, I call that payoff.
Great.
I mean, look at freaking Beth's face. And
I love it.
It's a good payoff. She, like, spills on him.
I mean, even,
like,
Beth's face in that scene at the dinner, like, you can tell she's got the, like,
she's
healing
had them the entire,
on the face,
right? She's had them
the
entire time. It's constant. There's a confrontation between JJ and Lou by the bathroom,
yeah,
right?
Where,
she's where
he's
like
I fucked Jackie.
Yeah, exactly. She loved it. And he's like, fuck. Then Lou and Jackie get into this huge fight, right? And then we find that night, Beth got brutally basically beat the shit out of because she spilled something on JJ,
mm-hmm,
at the diner. And then she's in the hospital. And Jackie's like, I'm going to save Lou. I'm going to help her. I'm like, I need to, like, take this roid rage out on someone.
Yeah.
So she goes and she smashes JJ's face. He's like completely brutally murdered. Then Lou shows up.
That scene too with her destroying JJ's face,
mm-hmm,
is so, like, I think the thing about this movie that I can see being one of the things that people were sort of in one camp or another about is it shields you from nothing.
Nothing.
right? Like, when they show you stuff, I think it's the same way that I would say, like, the sex scenes are.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, it is explicit without being, like, over the top with it.
Yes.
And that's what I think is the same thing where when she goes in and they follow Lou in and they're showing you Beth's face, like, they're not shying away from that. And it's ugly.
It's bad.
It's bad. And that's the thing, is they are making the stakes of everything extreme and clear. Mm-hmm. So when you're watching Jackie take steroids, they're making it clear that something is happening in her body, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's the point of those scenes where they keep showing you the veins, like the zooming.
Yeah.
That is to highlight that there is a process taking place inside of Jackie's body that is important and that you need to know about. You need to know what happened to Beth. You need to know what the fuck Jackie did to JJ. It is a lot, and it's not easy to watch, right?
It's very specific. Yes, it's very specific, and it's very in your face, and it's very, like, yeah, like, we see that man's face. And that's what I'm saying. I don't like gore either, but
yeah,
I don't know. For some reason, like, yeah, like, I had to shield my eyes, but also I was like, this is right, in a way. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is the right way to tell this story. Because it is so jarring.
It's so jarring.
It's
and
so
they,
jarring.
They really hit you. That scene where they show you JJ, where Lou walks in and you get the sort of dark, and then she goes in and you see what she sees and then you see her react to it. And it's, yeah, I mean, it's crazy, right? Because so Lou left, she sees the car parked, she took a taxi, she sees her truck parked outside, so she goes in JJ's house, and this, whoop, everything sort of flips on its head now. Like, now we're in the shit.
Yeah.
Now we're in the shit of this story.
Yep.
Because she finds JJ, she finds Jackie, and once again, fucking love a dyke.
She's like, get to work.
Yeah, finds her girlfriend sitting in the tub of the blood-splattered murder scene that she has left in her wake of the drugs you pumped into her, and Lou's like, well, I guess I've trained for this shit, right? I've got experience. So here's what we're gonna do. We're rolling him up in this rug. We're cleaning the fucking house. We're taking him. We're gonna put him in the car. We're gonna dump the car. Lou's like, boom, boom, boom. Here's my plan. Here's the plan. We're like, execute the plan, right? She's a little distressingly ready for this.
Yeah, I mean, well, because you also know the backstory of, like, she has clearly dealt with the cleanup for a bunch of her dad's shit, right?
Right.
And
right.
She's like, let's do it, whatever. And then at this point, they're hiding and the dad comes in?
No. At this point, they go to hide the body and she's in JJ's car and Daisy's at the stoplight.
Yes.
This is when they run into Daisy and Daisy's like, oh my God, Lou, let's go clubbing. Also why, like, are you in this car?
Also, how, like, it's like, that's why I'm saying, like, this movie is so gay and it's also, like, not about the being gay, but this is what I love about it. It's like, of course, it's like, sorry, we're trying to dispose of a dead body. I'm running to my fucking ex. Like, really?
My fucking crazy
obsessive
crack
ex.
Addict.
Yeah,
obsessive
who will definitely remember
ex.
This interaction.
Yes.
And know exactly
and who
where we
turns around to see the other girl that she knows you've been fucking for weeks driving your truck behind you in a car that is not your car. And Daisy is dumb in a lot of ways. Daisy's not dumb enough in these ways to know, hey, some shit's going down and I know about it now, right? So Daisy clearly knows something is happening. Lou and Jackie are going to dispose of JJ's body in the ravine where her dad buries all his bodies. So they light that car the fuck on fire at the bottom of a ravine full of bodies. Great.
Great, great plan, and also, like, stressful plan, right?
Great situation. Yeah, good ideas all around are had. And again, here's the thing. It's funny sometimes when you watch a movie like this and you're like, you know what? Daisy, dumb, crazy bitch in a lot of ways in this movie. But, you know, Daisy could have pulled this off in a way that Jackie doesn't.
What do you mean?
Lou's like, all you have to do is state.
Yeah.
Don't leave the apartment. Don't talk to anyone. Don't say anything fucking weird to anyone. right? Just stay put so that this can all blow over. And instead, Jackie's like, fuck your plan.
Yep.
I'm going to ruin everything. And it's not good. So Lou's trying to go off and deal with the fallout of all of this. She goes to clean the house, which, like, God bless her. That doesn't look fun.
No.
And she does a great job, right? She is mopping up blood left and right. She's dealing with everything. She's putting everything away. Jackie, meanwhile, is breaking her way out of the apartment that she was locked into to hitchhike her way to Vegas while fucking roided up out of her mind.
Yes, and that's what I'm saying. Like, this is also like, oh my God, this is the point where you're just like, it's so toxic. And they're just like really leaning into it. Like, she physically traps her in the house. Mm-hmm. And Jackie's like, no, bitch. Like, this is the only thing. Also, that's like obsession in so many ways, right? Jackie's also obsessed. She's obsessed with Lou. She's obsessed with winning this bodybuilding competition. Like, it means everything to her. To the point where it's like, dude, you just killed someone. Like, I think you could wait on the bodybuilding competition. And she's like, no, I will fight my way out of this apartment to go to this bodybuilding competition, even though I'm in the aftermath of a gruesome murder.
Yes. Yeah. And what I love is there's also this one quick clip, like montage clip scene of Jackie at the gym real quick before she heads out. And this is where she sees there's a poster, because the gym has all these motivational posters, if you can call them that. They're sort of like pieces of paper with stamped on letters, right? But she sees one and it just says, destiny is a decision. And this is, I think, really thematic of the movie here, right? That this is, you're watching all of these characters try so hard to build their life for themselves, right?
Yes.
The best that they can with the shit sandwich that they've been packed by life. It is, you're watching Lou deal with the, you know, here I'm talking to the cop, Lou Sr. You're watching Lou Sr. talking to the cop that he has paid off, obviously, to hide all of his many various crimes and murders for years and years and years. You're watching, this is where we get, somewhere in here is where Lou's hiding in the house while Lou Sr. is there inspecting, and she's in the closet and all this stuff.
Classic. Let's throw a lesbian in the closet also.
Yeah. So you're getting all of that. You're getting Jackie coming back to say, hey, I got to get to Vegas. And Lou's like, you cannot fucking go to Vegas right now. Like, you just beat my brother-in-law to an absolute bloody pulp. And then we dumped him in a ravine full of dead bodies. You can't leave. Right?
And
it's
not
good.
She needs to go. She needs to be a hot bodybuilder.
She is hitchhiking her way to Vegas for this bodybuilding competition. And this is where I think things, this is where you start finding the other camp of things that people had a hard time with in this movie. Because this is where you have the, like, I birth you out my mouth scene.
What's I birth you out my mouth scene?
When Jackie starts hallucinating mid bodybuilding show.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah. And starts having this weird hallucinating vision of Lou, like, vomiting Lou out of her mouth.
See, here's the thing.
These are the parts where I'm like, I don't know if
all the hallucinations, I think, were a little strange to me. Like, we'll get to the end. But that was really fucking weird. Everything else, I was like, yes, I can buy into this. You know what I also realized? We completely skipped that one sex scene where she stretches her... Remember?
Oh, yeah.
She's like, I just want to stretch you. I want to see how far you can go. And you're like, what the fuck?
What the fuck?
And then she's like telling her to masturbate in front of her. And then she bites her toe. It's like, I forgot about that. And it's a very important scene.
Ellie's like, we have to go back. Yes, we do have to go back. That scene, listen, I would take the toe biting is not my thing again. I would take the toe biting over the I have now vomited your entire body out of my mouth.
But I think that's okay. So here's how when you say I don't get it, here's how I will say that is. Like, I feel like it's like basically saying, like I said, love is like a drug, is like an addiction, right? So she's throwing up like from the steroids, but the steroids are also connected to Lou. Mm. So she's like throwing up the drug that is her partner.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I saw it.
Okay.
So it's like as much as Lou is injecting a literal drug into her, like, the drug is Lou. That's how I saw it.
Yeah, there is something to that, like, consuming another human entirely,
right? Yes. Exactly. And I know it's like aggressive how they portray it, but I understand what they're saying. And yeah. It is also like sort of the point. Like, I don't know. It just like it throws everything in your face, like in such a like interesting way. Like I said, I was never bored. I was like, okay, we're doing
well,
this
and you can't be bored for long, because after the drama of Jackie throwing up at the competition, beating the shit out of people in a roid rage, like beating the shit out of fellow contestants while roided out, then you cut back to Lou finding Daisy waiting for her, being like, oh my gosh, Lulu, this must be so hard for you. What happened to JJ and how you were in his car that night?
Doesn't she have a gun or something?
She has like a joint, right? She has like a cigarette or a joint or something for her. And she's like, let's go to the club. Tell me you're not in love with Jackie and let's go out clubbing.
Exactly. She's like, I have blackmail on you now, so will you fuck me?
Yes.
Like, yes. Crazy.
It's
unhinged behavior.
Wild. It's wild. Yeah, so Daisy's there to kind of slide herself right into the open door that Jackie broke her way out.
Oh my God. She's like, so your girlfriend escaped. You want to back up?
Yeah. I don't know why. I should hate Daisy in this movie. And
no, she does such a good job of being like Daisy. She's a very likable character.
But she's not.
In her chaos.
That's the thing. Like, she's not really even likable. I love her.
Yeah. It's the acting. It's
she's
the acting.
Fucking crazy. And she has crazy eyes. I think Anna Baryshnikov has really perfected the crazy eyes part of acting. So she shows up and she's like, yeah, so like, what was the deal with Jackie anyways? And Lou's like, nothing at all. We like hung out. That was it. I'm not into Lou.
He's just
Jackie. I'm not into Jackie.
I'm not into Jackie at all. She didn't kill anyone. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. And then Lou Sr. goes and gets Jackie from jail, right? And is like, we can fix this. I just need you to, like, do some stuff for me, too, right? And the stuff that Jackie's got to do is apparently go and shoot Daisy in the fucking head. This is the part of this movie that reminds me of watching a Coen Brothers movie, you know, where it's just everything is going bad off the rails for everyone so fast that it's almost hard to keep up. And all you know is you're stressed, but also there's vaguely comedic elements to it, you know, and it's just you just feel so watching it. That's the experience. The experience is just like, it's that feeling. Yes, it's very that. So then you have Jackie, who shows up at Lou Sr.'s to be like, okay, now we can, you know, fix everything. And Lou Sr. is just like, let's kill everyone. Lou's taken care of loose ends, and those loose ends are Jackie and his daughter, which he doesn't seem to feel too bad about. So he's sending the cop over to kill Lou, which is not great. Lou ends up killing the cop. Then you have a dead cop in her apartment. Then she's trying to go get Jackie, so she's driving to Lou Sr.'s place. First, she has to deal with Beth, who is like, don't do any of this. Why did you kill my husband? And I hate you. And you're like, Beth, want more for yourself. Dream bigger, Beth, you know? Dream of a man who doesn't beat you. But they have their whole thing. Lou goes and finds Jackie, who's tied up in like a fucking shed outside or something. And then now they're having their whole, again, they're still doing this whole like, were you asleep? Were you fucking Daisy? Baby, it wasn't like that.
Baby, I'm sorry. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's so like, oh God, it just is such a good portrayal of just like, yeah, just like a fucking toxic relationship where like, there's so much crazy shit happening around them, and all they care about is like, but did you fuck her? It's giving like in bodies when she's like, check her text.
That is exactly what it's like. Maybe that's why we love it so much. It's
so funny
like,
to me.
Campy gay chaos in the midst of this horrific, gory, bloody story, right? I don't know why it just strikes me as so funny. I find it so funny that while all of this is happening, she's not like, my dad's gonna fucking kill us and drop our bodies in a ravine. She's like, baby, it wasn't like that. She didn't mean anything to me. I was trying to protect you. Just, I love it. But they should be worried about Lou Sr. because Lou Sr. is coming out to shoot Lou Jr. in the leg. And Jackie's trying, she's like, you know, be free, baby. Jackie's trying to make a run for it. Until she comes back as a giant.
Giant woman?
Like 100 foot tall monster woman who can pick Lou Sr. up like a tiny toy and like crush him in her hands. And I don't get it.
That part was so random. But okay, so here's the thing.
Okay.
So here's how I perceive this, because I've been reading about it as well. So a lot, like one of the themes of the film, right, is like, what is a monster? Like, and who is a monster in the story, right? Because like every person in this story does horrific things, right? And so like Jackie was called a monster because she's like a big hulking woman who like isn't accepted, right? Lou Sr. is a monster because he killed a fuck ton of people, right? Like Lou Jr. is a monster because she also did it with him, even if she didn't want to do it. And she, you know, also helped hide the body, blah, 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 whatever. Like JJ is a monster because he beats his wife, blah, 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 whatever. So it's like a whole thing. It's a theme. So I think there's a lot of times, there's a few times in this film, and I don't know if I like it, but I understand it. I'm like, I don't think you needed to actually turn her into a hulking monster to show us you were talking about monsters. It's quite on the nose, and it made me laugh out loud. And I don't know if that's the point. Like, I don't know if we're supposed to be laughing. It was so ridiculous. It was so ridiculous. But I think it's too, like, trying to say, like, that the injections, the, like, steroids turned her in. And also, additionally, lose love, question mark. Turned her into someone who could like take on the world and kill this man. I don't know. I was like, it's ridiculous. But that's what I interpreted it as.
I could see that. My question is gonna be, what do you think actually happened in that scene?
I do think that Jackie killed.
Well, they didn't kill him. They leave him for the cops.
Okay. So either way,
I think that Jackie came back and like incapacitated him somehow.
Yeah. And I think that her as like this giant hulking creature was like a figment of Lou's imagination, where she's just like, my baby is a hero. She could do anything. I will also say there was like a, on my second rewatch, there's a time when they're watching TV and Gulliver's Travels is on.
Yes. Yes.
And so I found that to be funny because it's like, that is the point of Gulliver's Travels, right? Mm-hmm. It's like he's tiny and everyone else is big, or he's big and everyone else is tiny. I forget.
He's big and everyone else. In the book, he goes to both. He goes to an island where he's like an enormous man around tiny people, the Lilliputians. And then he also goes to a place where like he's little and they're all huge. But what they're showing you is him with, he's huge and he's tied down by these little tiny people. And then he's like breaking free. And same thing. He like picks one up like a little ant, you know?
Yeah. So I feel like they were like foreshadowing it. But I mean, obviously that's like not what really happened. But I do think she incapacitated him in some way, like, so that he couldn't kill her lover.
Yeah.
And then they ride off into the sunset.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which, like, we get a happy-ish ending for our two lovers.
We do. I mean, I will say, like, this is a happier ending. Than you expected to get out of this movie specifically, where it just feels like everything goes off the rails so, so fast, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I am also curious, because I've never seen Attack of the 50-Foot Woman, right? But I feel like when you have a scene like this in a movie, it feels like it has to be a reference somehow to Attack of the 50-Foot Woman, which was a movie that came out in like the 50s or something, right? And as far as I know from what I've looked up about the movie, it's about a woman who, there's something with aliens and somehow she gets like involved in this whole like alien attack thing, grows huge, but it's also sort of her taking revenge on, I think, like her husband who was like cheating on her and only using her for her money and all this stuff. And like at the end, I think they both die, like she kills him and then also like she gets exploded or something.
Love to see it.
Love to see it. But I think the idea behind a lot of the commentary on these types of movies is that there is something about portraying women specifically as monsters when they have power, right? there's something about this idea of taking women who are more, who are stronger than you in a situation, specifically from the male gaze.
Yes.
And turning them
into a monster.
Into
because
hulking monster beast woman, right?
Yes.
And I feel like there has to be that going on here.
I think that's the for sure the threat, right? Of also just like the bodybuilding aspect of it, of her being quote unquote, and like the lesbian part of it, of them being monsters. Like, I think it is reclaiming that and being like, yeah, she's a monster, but like badass gigantic woman who's gonna throw you around and like bye. Not in like a, like, we're rooting for the monster.
Yes, yeah. Well, and because
the
truth is,
we're rooting for the lesbian monsters.
I wonder when Attack of the 50-Foot Woman came out in, you know, 1958, were there women, was it one of those situations where men made a movie where they were like, look at this monster, and women were like, a fucking queen. That's what I want to know, is were women watching that movie and being like, yes, bitch. Because I feel like that's what we're doing, right? Like, Jackie sucks overall, to be honest, as a character. She's the worst. I find her almost more unlikable than Daisy in a lot of ways in this movie for me.
She's quite selfish.
Yes.
She's quite, like, she uses everyone around her to get whatever she wants.
She is
self-involved.
Like, she is uncontrollable. She is unhinged. But you watch the scene and you're just like, fuck him.
Go,
up,
Jackie,
queen.
Go.
Yes. And it is. It does feel like that, I think, also feels like a payoff, right? To have them do that scene of whatever they're doing to Lou Sr., Lou's there with like the gun in his mouth, right? And then being like, bye, dad, like leaving him for the cops. And then they're running through the clouds together. And you're like, this is fucking crazy. But like, I don't, whatever. But that's the thing where I'm like, I feel like there is more there than I get. Like, I feel like there are references and allusions and themes that I don't know that I've fully unpacked still. And it's weird. It's weird when it happens. And
so randomly. It's like,
It's a little much.
Like, it's the way that a lot of things in this movie are a bit jarring. Like, I do think, like, I guess that they sort of introduced some surrealist elements throughout the whole thing, but it felt quite, I was literally cackling because I was like, what the fuck?
It's it's weird.
It's weird. It's very weird. It's sort of the point, but also it still is weird. And then they leave and they drive off with freaking Daisy in the back, right?
Yeah.
And Daisy wakes up.
Daisy
that is
waking
the funniest.
Up.
That was the funniest.
Took me out.
That was so
I legitimately
funny.
Thought that was just the movie was ending. Like, they're running through the clouds, you know. And I was like, that's the end of the movie. And to have the movie end, to have the movie end on Daisy waking up and Lou having to drag her fucking half dead body. Well, first I think she kills her first. She kills her in the car, right?
And yeah, I think she
chokes
her, strangles
her, smothers her, whatever, in the car, and then, like, is dragging her out into the fucking desert. And you're just like, I shouldn't
it's so
be laughing
funny.
At this,
no,
but
it's so funny.
It's so funny. I don't know why the way they do it is so funny, because you can just see Lou being like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Fuck. Yeah. She's like, my ex is still here.
Yes. She cannot escape from this, and it is... I don't know why. I just was not ready for it. I was so not expecting it. And it absolutely killed me when I watched the end. It's just after everything else, it was such a perfect kind
it
of...
It was a great ending.
Kind of like
it was a great ending.
Coda
well, also,
on
like,
that
like I,
finale of
like
this
I said,
movie.
Too, even just reading some of the stuff about it is like, you know, it's just like they've done some terrible shit in this film and you're like, they're riding off in the sunset and you're like, oh, wait, they have to do like one more shitty thing before they can
be
okay together.
It is.
And they have to just literally kill everyone in their lives.
So funny. Okay, so yeah, so that's kind of the movie. Anything we didn't talk about yet? What do we need to talk about, Ellie?
I mean, I feel like honestly we did a lot of good shit in this. We did a lot of good shit in that. Like I said, it's like, to me, it's a movie about obsession. It's a movie about love as a drug, as an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fucked up things that you do when you're just like thrown into a life that like you didn't quite choose. Like, I don't know, like just looking at all the relationships, right? It's like the Jackie and the Lou of it all, which is like Lou is obsessed with this self-involved, obsessive person. And Jackie almost like, and I think this is why maybe to you, Jackie's unlikable. And this is because this is what I think and feel. And maybe I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Is that I do feel like Jackie is obsessed with Lou. However, I feel as though she's using
yes
her relationship with Lou to justify her rage.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you could look at it in, from like a quote unquote toxic romantic place. She killed her for me. Like, she killed her for herself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the thing that makes the movie interesting.
Yeah.
Is, I mean, it's interesting no matter what, is that I feel like Jackie killed JJ because she liked the feeling. Like, the more she was getting the roids, the more she liked the feeling of being angry. She liked the feeling of, like, releasing that anger and violence.
Yeah.
And so, like, she's not remorseful. Like, she's never remorseful. No,
not for anything she does in the movie.
Like, she's never remorseful. And I find that very fascinating.
Yeah.
As a character choice.
Mm-hmm.
Right? She's not remorseful for JJ. She's just like, deal with it, Lou. Thanks. She's definitely not remorseful for Daisy.
It's also interesting because I feel like it's interesting for Kristen Stewart to give us a movie where this is the queer relationship. And even though you're sort of rooting for them to be the people who come out of this, and they do, and they get their happy ending, it's real hard to root for that relationship. It's not a healthy relationship. And so it's interesting, again, when we talk about, you can write complicated, complex, unlikable, anti-hero queer characters and do it in a way that it's not homophobic, it's not a hate crime, it's not, you know, like, these are not the best characters. Like, mm-hmm. not they're not, like, well-written, but just, like, they're not good people necessarily.
People, yeah.
Jackie, at least, for sure, is yeah. not a good person.
I mean, and Lou, you are allowed
to do that with queer characters. And honestly, it gives you such an interesting thing to talk about, because I don't like this relationship, specifically because I actually think Lou is a better person than a lot of other people in this movie.
I think she is, and that's the interesting thing, is like, that's sort of trying to put that, they're trying to tell you that, right? Like, she was dragged into her dad's shit and she left. Yes. And like, she's
been trying to save Beth for years while knowing that she shouldn't kill JJ.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, she represents sort of self-control and boundaries, yeah. question mark.
She doesn't want to fuck Daisy, but she doesn't want to hurt her. Like, she always tries to be kind to Daisy, like brushing her off in a way where you can tell she doesn't really know how to set that boundary, because she knows it's going to hurt Daisy and she's struggling with that. Like, I don't think Lou is a bad person necessarily.
She separates the yolks from the eggs.
She does separate the yolks from the eggs. Like, Lou deserves better than this. And at the same time, doesn't know how to get out of this, because she just, like, has this crazy person who has, you know, shoved Lou inside of her entire body and doesn't know how to let go.
She likes it.
Yeah, I know. And that's, I mean, it is problematic. They are a problematic couple.
They are so problematic, but that's what I'm saying. I love it because of what you said of complex queer characters.
Yes. Yes.
This is the era of us writing complex queer characters. This story is very queer. Lou has this ex-girlfriend. She's clearly been gay as fuck. Like, there is some homophobia in her small town. People call her a dyke. Like, she's a little, like, we didn't really
touch
on this.
And when they do it, there's not the parentheses respectfully at the end, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But also, there's a little bit of, like, a identity piece where we have, like, one conversation between Jackie and Lou where Lou's like, you're not a fucking straight girl, are you? And then they have sex and whatever. And then also when she finds out she has slept with JJ, she's like, so you, like, you love dudes, and like, what was I to you? And she's like, I like both. And so you have like a little bit of bisexual rep. Sorry, not the best bisexual rep. This bitch is cray. But you have the conversation. You have the, like, I don't know. There's a lot of interesting queer pieces that they put in there intentionally
yeah.
or not intentionally. We have U-Hauling. Like, it's like it checks so many of like the queer movie relationship boxes.
Yeah.
In a movie that is so like not a, like it's not a rom-com. It is not, it is the genre piece of it is so interesting.
It's,
so I feel like to me it was cool to see because it's so different and it also is so gay.
It's crazy. It's crazy. I did like it. I do enjoy the movie. It is hard to watch. I feel like it'd be easier to watch again.
A second time. Yeah, yeah. yeah. I think it was actually. When I watched it the second time, it was easier to
the
watch.
The stress is lower. The stress is high yeah. your first watch. It's high. And that's why I
oh,
think.
Oh, yeah, because you have no clue what's happening. Yes. You're like, what the fuck? Like, every single, yeah, it's a lot.
Like, I do think I should watch this with Kelsey at some point, but I know that she's just going to be sitting there. She'll be so uncomfortable this whole movie because it is.
Yeah.
It's just one of those movies where you're like, I don't like it. I don't like what's happening. I don't like anything that's happening. So I enjoy that. I think that's fun. But yeah, it is a crazy movie. I can see why people had a lot of feelings about it. I can see why people weren't into the toe stuff. I can see why people weren't into the I'm hallucinating me vomiting your body out of me
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. I get it. There's controversial things in it. But yeah, props to Kristen Stewart, I think, for getting this out there, because I feel like this is a movie that is not what I think we typically expect when people are like, we're giving you a gay movie and you get Happiest Season. And you're like, well, mm-hmm. this feels like a hate crime.
Yeah, and that's what's so funny. It's honestly like it's better rep than Happiest
yes,
Season in a
yes.
weird way, because it's not trying. It's telling you this is a toxic relationship.
Yes.
I think Happiest Season like tried to pretend like this was a rom-com. And
yeah.
you're like, no, this is fucking trauma.
Yeah.
Trom-com.
You know what it feels like is I haven't watched the show and I'm really curious to, because I've seen a lot of clips from it lately, is a show called Kevin Can F Himself. And it's,
oh, I haven't seen it
it's
yet.
With what's her name? The girl who plays Alexis.
Yeah, and, Annie Healy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So she stars in it, and apparently the whole premise of the show is that it's basically filmed in two different styles where they film it in parts like a sitcom, and then they film other parts of it like a drama, right? And so it's this woman who is in this toxic, abusive relationship with this horrible man, Kevin, right? When Kevin's there, you get the world as a sitcom from Kevin's point of view, where he's funny and all the stuff he does has a laugh track and like, haha, he doesn't care about you or your life or your goals. And like, he forgets all the stuff that matters to you. Isn't he so funny? What a funny comedic husband, right? And then the second that he walks out of a room and a door closes, the camera, everything fully, you're like in an episode of Breaking Bad all of a sudden, right?
Yeah.
And you're getting her perspective of like, the hurt, the pain, the trauma, the like, there's a lot of stuff where you'll get like in his scenes, she looks totally fine. And then in the other scenes, like her arm's in a full sling because like she like fractured her arm or like dislocated something or like, but you don't see that because he doesn't notice it in the sitcom yeah. scenes, right? And I'm like, that's kind of what the Happiest Season to this feels like, is Happiest Season is like the sitcom view of a toxic relationship where you're like, it's so funny and cute. Oh my gosh, love them. And this is the mm-hmm. Breaking Bad version of a toxic relationship where you're like, yeah, what a fucking mess. Everything sucks and you're making bad choices and it's not going well for you. It's a lot more honest and in your face with it, but you know, I don't hate it for that, because I'd rather have that. I'd rather have young queers watching this movie and maybe thinking through, is Lou making the right choice here?
Yeah. How many people are like, I want to find my Jackie?
I bet they are. I'm so sorry.
It's fine.
If that's you and you need help, please reach out at email us at lessanghoutpod@gmail.com. We'll help you.
But yes, I think, do we have anything else to say, or do you want to head into our Q&A?
I'm ready. I think I can do our Q&A.
All right, let's do it. Here we go.
Q and gay.
Question number one, what's your favorite bodybuilding pose? A, quarter turns, B, front double biceps, C, side chest or rear, or D, rear lat spread?
Which one shows the fewest muscles?
I don't know.
I'm going to say side chest.
Okay.
That sounds great. Like I won't have bulging veins in my face. Boy, I am not in, I am not a, the bodybuilding stuff is not for me.
It's okay.
More power to you, people who enjoy that. Love that for you. Not my thing. Question two, Ellie. Would you be able to take Katie O'Brien in a fight? A, hell no. B, oh yeah. Or C, step on me.
I feel like I'm going to go with C, step on me. I would literally just lay there and be like, all right, fine.
Take me.
Take me. Take me. I'm not really into the bodybuilding thing either, but I could say that Katie O'Brien is very attractive in this.
Yeah, she's, I mean, I'm not going to begrudge her that. It's just, it's an aesthetic that is not my.
That's okay.
You know, not my top choice.
All right, question number three. What's your favorite Kristen Stewart haircut? A, Twilight wig. B, Charlie Angel's bob. Or C, Love Lies Bleeding mullet.
I'm so sorry, gays. I know the Love Lies Bleeding mullet is big right now. I love her Charlie's Angels hair.
It's such a good look
on
her.
It's such a good haircut on her. It looked great. I know she pulls this mullet off. God bless her for finding a way to do that. It feels like it should have been impossible. But I gotta go with B, Charlie's Angels.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
It's a good look.
Question four. Which Katie O'Brien would you prefer to date? A, regular Katie, or B, giant unicorn Katie?
I'm going to go with regular Katie. I don't need a giant right now. I also feel like I like being the tallest person in the room. You know what I mean? So that's like a, I don't want anyone taller than me. Sorry, Katie.
That's fair.
Maybe actually regular Katie is taller than me.
I don't know how tall she is. How tall is Katie O'Brien?
No, she's not. We're good.
Okay.
Don't worry. I know.
Still on the table, Ellie. Still on the table.
All right. Question number five. Who's the best gigantic woman? A, Jackie. B, Anne Hathaway in Colossal. Or C, Nancy from 50 Foot Woman.
I haven't seen Colossal, but I cannot not choose Anne Hathaway in any contest ever because I love her.
Great answer.
I should watch the movie to see. Maybe she fucking sucks. But I love Anne Hathaway, so I doubt it.
Perfect.
I'll defend her. Whatever it is, I'll die on that hill. It's Anne Hathaway.
It has to be. Remember, you can also give us your own answers to this episode's Q&A questions on our Twitter at Lessing Out Pod.
Let me hear you say, hip, 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 well, yeah.
We love hearing from you, and we love continuing to build this community. So we just want to shout out some of our favorite things every episode. And this week, we want to shout out Tressa, who messaged us on Instagram to request that we do an episode on Love Lies Bleeding. So, Tressa, we hope... We hope this has been the episode you were looking for. It was ready and waiting. What wonderful timing you have. But I do love that Tressa mentioned specifically that it's because they also want to hear a Love Lies Bleeding Let's Hang Out original song. So stay tuned. It's coming right up.
Get your steroids ready.
And as always, we want to thank our Lesbian Jesus patrons, Mark Foster,
Lizette Stey,
A.D. Benitez,
Sophia Phillips,
and Armani Gucci,
and our King Princess patrons, Amy and Ellen,
and Andrea Doucette. Thank you all so much. We could not keep making this show without you and all of our patrons.
Remember, you can also find us on all the social medias, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok at Let's Hang Out Pod.
You can email us at letshangoutpod@gmail.com.
You can check out our website at letshangoutpod.com.
Whatever app you're using to listen to podcasts, make sure that you subscribe. That way you'll get new episodes as soon as they go up.
We're also posting videos on our YouTube channel, so make sure you subscribe at youtube.com/letshangoutpod to catch them.
Let's Hang Out is an independently produced show. It's hosted by us. Our audio production is done by Ellie. Our production assistant is Krista Murison, and various other podcasting shenanigans are done by me.
If you want to support the podcast, the best way to do that is to rate and review us on iTunes. We love hearing what you have to say.
If you want to support our Patreon, you get access to our extra Patreon bonus episodes. You get access to our Discord chat. You can join that at bit.ly/lespatreon.
If you want to get some Les Hangout merch, we have a big sale going on for spooky season. You can get that at bit.ly/lesmerch. And if you use the code LHOSPOOKY at checkout, you get 20% off all of your merch. Lee and Kristen have made some beautiful spooky designs. We've got some cute little ghosties holding hands, and they're so freaking adorable. I want them.
I love a ghostie.
And some skellies. We love a Let's Hang Out skelly. So if you want some spooky designs, you can get that at bit.ly/lesmerch.
Remember, we also have a queer production company making queer podcast musicals with guaranteed happy endings that you can find everywhere at Dollar Bean Prod.
Or at our website, dollarbeanproductions.com.
You can listen to all of the episodes of our first show, The Flame, up anywhere you listen to podcasts, and our second show, Journey to the Heart. You can also listen to the entire first run anywhere you listen to podcasts.
And if you want to help support us in making more musicals, you can join our Patreon at bit.ly/dollarbeanpatreon.
If you want to follow us individually, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at LSH Foster.
You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Ellie Brigida. With that, I'm Ellie.
And I'm Lee.
And let's hang out again soon.
Let's hang out. Strike a pose. You know everybody knows. She's a winner. Take a shot. Temperature is running high. You can feel the heat is climbing. Promise me that you're not gonna leave the timing. Could not be much worse. So hit me where it hurts. Put me in the dirt. Let me hear that. Make that body work.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.